Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for this beautiful day. Thank you for the work that you're doing in our lives and the amazing and beautiful, exciting news about Luke and the work that you have been doing and even doing right now in his life. I pray that you guide us as we consider your word to each one of us. Open our eyes, Father, to your beauty and the work that you're doing in our lives as individuals and as a congregation and as a community. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, pray. Amen. So if you look in your bulletin, the text is Romans chapter 5. One of those passages that has a soft spot in me, which one of the reasons why I picked it. So Romans chapter 5, verses 6 to 11. This is God's word for you and me. Romans chapter 5, verse 6 to 11. For while we were still weak, at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. For one will scarcely die for a righteous person, though perhaps for a good person one would dare even to die. But God shows his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Since therefore we have now been justified by his blood, much more shall we be saved by him from the wrath of God. For if while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more now that we are reconciled, shall we be saved by his life. More than that, we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received reconciliation. Through Jesus Christ, we have received reconciliation with God the Father, or actually the triune God, Father, Son, and Spirit, right? So my question for all of us today is, have you ever wondered whether God actually loves you? And that might sound like a silly question, right? Especially if I can refer to our summer missionaries at Christian Youth in Action, CYA, right? We always teach the children that God loves you, right? And most of you are familiar with John 3:16. You see at sports games, for God so loved the world. A silly question it may seem. And you may even expect to hear that within the church, that God loves you. And caring people who loves you would say, yeah, God loves you. But for those of you who know me, and it's kind of like a running joke in my family, many of you know I love Snoopy, right? But how many of you know that I love Winnie the Pooh also? Yeah. And in my family, if I was a Winnie the Pooh character, I'll be Eeyore. Yeah. Kind of cute. But on a serious note, let me take you down to a dark place. Especially for us who have been around the block a few times, older people, right? Particularly us older guys, and I'm told that I'm an old man now, and I'm learning to accept that. I'm not a spring chicken anymore. You know, as you get older in the fallen world, you may experience some dark things, right? And when you experience dark things, have you ever wondered whether God loves you? Have you ever wondered in the dark things, those dark times? Something I don't share too often, but when Grace was just 2 years old, roughly 2 years old, and Joyce was pregnant, my wife pregnant, the doctor couldn't find the heartbeat of the baby. You know how you go to the doctor, they always check for the heartbeat. And, you know, it was a routine visit, 8 weeks, 7 or 8 weeks, and no heartbeat. And I'm thinking, is this doctor bad? Can't find a heartbeat, right? And I prayed.
No.
He said, Heavenly Father, please let there be a heartbeat. Make it just a mistake from the doctor, right? And you know, like we would teach the children about praying to God, how God answers prayer. I guess God's answer was no that time, right? Dark times. You know, did God love me during that time? Was He loving me? Was He loving Joyce during that time? Right? You know, God's word says He loves you. Even this passage we just read says He loves you. But what if you don't feel God's love? Right? And maybe some of you are in a dark place right now. And God seems far away. What's worse, you know, this is subjective, but what's worse than God saying no to your prayers than when it just seems like He's silent when you're praying? I mean, if He says no, at least He's answered me. I know there's that communication. But one of my pet peeves is that I'm talking to someone, I get no feedback from the other person. It's like, you know, did He even hear me? Did she even hear what I was asking about? Is God even listening? Right? And then if in that painful time, you wonder whether God loves you, I mean, that's just one example, right? But in order to know whether, or even to answer that question, especially if you're in a dark place, whether God loves you, we need to understand how God sees you. How does He see you? And in Romans chapter 5, it says some incredible things about how God sees you. And it starts off sounding kind of depressing or insulting. It says in verse 6, while you are still weak. Weak. Right? And when I read that, a lot of times I would think people like myself would say, oh, physically weak. I'm not able to lift this pulpit. Oops. Well, maybe I'm starting to think. I had my breakfast, right? But it's not about physical weakness, about physical ability. But it's all about your weakness in doing what is right. You ever try to do something good and then find it hard to do the good thing, the right thing? Right? For the young people here, you know you should study, but how hard is it to go to your study materials? I would say books, but there's not many books nowadays. They just pull out their phone or computer or tablet and then they're like reading their stuff. So study materials, their notes. Right? Or if you're at work, you know you should be working on that project, but there's other thing that seems more interesting that you want to do or look at, right? Right? It's hard to do what's right. We're weak there. It's hard to do what's morally right, especially when you're facing temptation. That's why Jesus in the Lord's Prayer says, Heavenly Father, lead me not into temptation. There's a prayer there because each one of us are morally weak when we're faced with temptation. It's so easy to fall. I don't care how long you've been a Christian or how godly or righteous you think you are or how close you think you are to Jesus. You know, failure is just one step away for every single one of us. We're morally weak, right? Yeah. And if you recall from a couple of weeks ago, God says the ungodly are the ones that try to hide their sins. So when we're morally weak, we also try to hide our sins, right? And because we're morally weak, it says later on in our passage, that's why people may not want to help you. Because that is common sense, right? If you're not nice to someone, they wouldn't want to help you. Like verse 7, for one will scarcely die for a righteous person, though perhaps for a good person one would dare even to die. Verse 8, but God shows his love for us, you and me, in that while we're still sinners, Christ died for you. Right? Can we expect people to sacrifice themselves for us, especially if we're morally weak? That's not a realistic expectation. I mean, just put it back, just put it back in your lap, for example. You know, would you want to help someone who bullies you? No. Right? Would you want to help that hypocrite at work in the office? No. But verse 6 says, while you were still weak, morally weak, Christ died for you. Christ, God the Son, he's the one and only Son of God the Father. And God the Father was willing to give up his one and only Son for you while you are morally incapable of doing what is right, failing constantly. So the Father, God the Father, did not do this while you're at your best. He did not do this while you're at best. Right? He didn't give up his Son when you're most holy or most godly. But he did this when you're at your worst. He gave up his Son, Jesus Christ, while you and I were at our worst. So, like I mentioned before, in Psalm 32, the ungodly are the deceptive ones. They're trying to hide their sin. They're the ones playing God for a fool, for an idiot. Like if God doesn't see my sin and I'm trying to hide it from him. Right? And that's why in verse 10 here, it calls you and me enemies of God. Because the person that treats God as if he's some moron that doesn't see your sin, you know, that's pretty insulting, I would say, to God. Hiding all my dark things from him. But God sees it. God knows it. You and I are his enemy. And then he was still willing to give up his one and only Son for you and me. And it gets more intense because you remember when Jesus was in the garden, the night he was betrayed? Jesus was praying to the Father, if there is any other way, let me bypass the cross. And the Father said to Jesus, his one and only Son, no. Nope. Gotta go through it. And then Jesus, again, two more times it says, Father, Heavenly Father, if I can just bypass this cross, let it be so. And then the Father had to tell his one and only Son, no, for you when you were God's enemies. And here's the beautiful thing. And then Jesus, you know, he didn't say, no, I'm going to go my own way, like a lot of kids would do. He says, yeah, okay, your will be done. Not my will, but your be done. Jesus went willingly to it. Right? He went willingly. He says, I'm going to do this. I'm going to do this. And you could say that because Jesus loves you, because we have that from Scripture, Jesus does love you. But at least in the context of those gospel accounts, I like to say that because Jesus loves the Father. Yes, I love you, Father, Heavenly Father. I'm going to do it for you. Right? So here's the thing here. Because God did this for you while you were His enemy, God's love for you is not determined by how good you are. It's not determined by how good you are. But if you read through the entire book of Romans and you have time to do that, I would encourage you to do that today, at least start on it. God's love for you is determined by how good Jesus is. And we all know Jesus is perfect, right? That's how God will see you when you believe and trust in Jesus Christ. Perfect. In a similar way, we know Jesus loves you because His love for you is determined by God the Father's love for you. So in other words, Jesus loves you because God the Father loves you, and God the Father loves you because Jesus is holy and perfect. It's like this amazing synergy of love between you, Jesus, and the Father. And Jesus is bringing you to the Father because He loves you. He wants you to know His perfect Heavenly Father. Right? And because of Jesus Christ, God no longer sees you as His enemy. You were once His enemy, but now because of Jesus Christ, you're reconciled to Him, as it says like in 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and 5. You're reconciled to Him. And then what's more, you're not just a friend of God now, but you're His child. Right? As many as received and believed in Jesus' name, God gave the right to become children of God. He sees you as, you know, as a father. I like to call my children my little babies, even though they're all bigger than me now. They're still my little babies, you know. God sees you as His little baby now. Can you imagine that amazing transformation from enemy of God who looks at God as He's some moron to God's little baby, Heavenly Father's little baby, seeing you. You are my baby. With all the affection that goes with that term as His baby, how the Father, having a perfect, not some sinful father, but a perfect Heavenly Father, how He adores and dotes over His little ones. How He cares about you. All that comes to you through Jesus Christ. And that's because Jesus died for you. Do you believe that? Jesus died for you so you can be God's, the Heavenly Father's little baby that He loves. That's how much God loves you. And it gets even more amazing. It doesn't matter how bad you feel, or it doesn't matter how bad the things you've done, or even the bad, and this is, gets a little dark here, the bad things that have happened to you. That's something to hold on to, especially if you've gone through some dark times, dark experiences. Because even those dark experiences cannot erase the fact that God the Father loves you. Because He gave up His one and only Son, Jesus Christ, for you. He did this, it's historical. He did this in history, right? It can't be changed. You just can't rewrite history. You can't wipe it out. Even though nowadays, people are trying to rewrite history. And I still remember my world history teacher in high school. He says, every generation rewrites history. And then, you know, past 10 years, I've seen, oh yeah, his words comes back to mind. I said, yeah, it seems like every generation tries to rewrite history. But you know what? No one can rewrite the history of what God's done here. But here's the fun fact. because this fact is enshrined in Scripture, in God's Word. It cannot be changed. Because Jesus Himself says, even if heaven and earth pass away, God's Word will remain. No one can change that fact, that God loves you. And He didn't just say He loved you, He showed it to you, He demonstrated it to you through Jesus Christ. No love can be greater. It's an ultimate demonstration of your love for someone. You know, just ask, if you ever see a veteran, you know, for someone to give up their life for their brother or sister, right? Ultimate sacrifice, demonstration of love. That's where closeness with veterans for one another, especially those who serve together, right? Especially if they've been in some actual battles, they save one another's lives, right? And it didn't matter whether their fellow soldier was a jerk or not, because you know everyone, there's got to be some jerks in your platoon, right? But when you're in those situations, you gotta look out for one another. Even so much greater here. As an enemy, not a fellow soldier, as an enemy, God loves you. Right? Yeah. So what about the bad things that have happened to you? Does that mean God doesn't love you? Yeah, it feels like it doesn't love you. Right? I have here in my notes to share some bad things. I already shared some bad things. I'm not going to share that again. But, yeah. There's some bad things happening out there. God loves you too. Yeah. That's something for you to hold on to, especially if you're walking through some dark right now. Or particularly for those blessed children here amongst us who haven't had the misfortune of going through anything dark yet. Something to remember when you do go through something dark. And I hate to jinx you like that. But we live in a fallen world. I normally won't say this to little children, but this is the adult service, right? We live in a fallen world. People do dark things to one another. And even Pastor Tim was praying about some of those things and how praying for God's power and justice to right what's wrong in our nation. So for those of you who are going through dark times or will go through dark times, you know, will you trust God in those times, when it feels like He's far away, when it feels like your prayers are falling on deaf ears, bouncing off the ceiling, back down to the ground, will you believe and hold on to the fact that God loves you and He's doing something? It's hard to know, right? There are things that happen in my life that I still don't understand why. And maybe until I stand before the Lord in glory one day, then I might understand, right? But God loves you. Hold on to that. Do you believe that Jesus died for your sins? Yeah, that is very important. Because if you don't believe that Jesus died for your sins, there is no reconciliation with Heavenly Father. Because you don't believe that Jesus died for your sins, I hate to say this, you don't have that privilege of calling the Almighty God Heavenly Father. It's only in Jesus that you have that privilege of calling the Almighty God Father. Right? Jesus willingly died for you. And if your experience or your feelings tell you otherwise, guess what? You can't always trust your feelings. But God's word can always be trusted. Right? Now, what's your response to God's demonstration? For those of you who believe, well, as what Pastor Tim guided us before, to repent, believe, and continue trusting in God, Heavenly Father. And that should give you time to be happy and rejoice. Right? Verse 11. We rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, because through Jesus Christ, you're part of His family. Right? And Pastor Tim reminded us just a few moments ago, in Jesus Christ, all of your sins, past, present, and future, has been forgiven. Right? All that's left for you to do is to repent daily, follow God, and enjoy God's forgiveness. And as you enjoy God's forgiveness, guess what? You're going to glorify God as you enjoy that forgiveness. Because in that joy, you're going to find the strength to do what is right. And what if it goes against what you feel? Like if God's not here, you know, that's where you got to ask yourself, are you going to believe your feelings or are you going to believe God? Would God lie to you? Right? Just because you don't feel God's love doesn't make God absent. You know, parents should understand this. Really. Right? You know, according to a child psychologist, they say, at least this is what I've read, I've seen this happen though. If you're a mom and dad with a small child, remember how your little kid would fret and cry when you walk out of the room? Especially at night when you want them to go to sleep. You want to go to bed. You bring them to bed. You put them in the crib. Good night. And then you walk out. The kid starts crying. Right? You guys, I think every single one of us can relate to that. Right? According to child psychologists, they say, when you do that, the baby, the little infant, actually thinks or believes that you disappeared for real. I mean, that sounds kind of silly because, you know, I'm just out of the room. Why are you crying? I'm right there. I can hear everything you do. Right? But the kid doesn't know that. The baby doesn't know that. They think, oh man, mommy's dead. He's gone. I'm alone in this universe here. And they freak out. Right? So they say they really believe that the mom and dad disappeared. And it's only after the baby grows and matures, they realize, oh yeah, mommy and daddy's just next door. Because every time I cry, they come back in, at least most of the time. Right? It's that tough love sometimes. You just gotta let them cry. But they grow. So likewise, just because you don't sense God's presence doesn't mean, or sense His love for you, doesn't mean He's not there. And it doesn't mean that He doesn't love you, right? It doesn't change the fact that God is present and God cares about you and He's loved you. It doesn't change the fact that He's actually still actively working in your life. And we have Jesus as proof, right? So do you believe that Jesus died for you, your sins? And as Pastor mentioned, if you don't believe, today is the day. Now is the time. What's stopping you? You know, it's a present that God is giving you. He says, I want to give you my love. And even more mind-blowing is this. It blows my mind when I think about this. This gift, God is saying, He's giving Himself to you. That's His present through Jesus Christ. He says, you get to have the Almighty God. And what does God get? He gets you. That sounds like a raw deal when I think about it. Like, I get God, but He gets me. Like, it's not, that doesn't seem very equal. But that's His love for you, and that's His present for you. Do you want to take it? If you haven't taken it, take it now. And you have taken it, that gift. Just imagine, you get to have the Almighty God of the universe. And you have access to His throne. I've been in Virginia for 17 years. I've never been to the White House. And I kept thinking, I want to go visit the White House. I got friends in New York who've been to the White House before me. It's embarrassing. And they asked me, my friend Dave, he said, I've been to the White House, have you?
No.
You're just a few minutes. Yeah, I know. I don't have access to the White House. But guess what? I have access to the throne of the Almighty God. And why do I have access to the God of the universe? Because He's my Heavenly Father. Look at that. Annalise. She has access to her daddy. Perfect timing. And there's time when Pastor Tim is up here and his little girls run up here. That's a beautiful picture. They have access to their dad. It doesn't matter what he's doing. You have access to him. You have access to your Heavenly Father because of Jesus Christ. What an amazing gift. Let me end with Hebrews 11, verse 6. We are told in God's Word, and without faith it is impossible to please God. For whoever would draw near to God must believe that He exists and that He rewards those who seek Him. And we know that through Jesus Christ. So come near to God now and know His great love for you. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank You for Jesus. Thank You that He is the way, the truth, and the light. Not just to Himself, but to You, Heavenly Father. And because we have access to You, Heavenly Father, we have access to You, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. The whole package. What a blessing. What a gift. Please help us know You more each day. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.